So we're in week three of our forward series. Our focus is on the future, moving forward into the future that God is preparing for us and for our church. This is week three of a five-week series. The first week, we talked about moving forward in faith. That means trusting. Trusting that when Jesus asks us to do something, when Jesus calls us forward, he will lead the way and provide what we need along the way. Last week, we talked about moving forward in hope. Knowing that the whole arc of history bends toward that time and that place when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, we point our lives there now. Knowing that no matter what mistakes we've made in the past, no matter what anxieties we have about the present, the future belongs to God, and it's better than we can imagine. The best is yet to come. Today, we're talking about moving forward in love, and we're going to take a look at a story from the Gospel of John that can help us think about what that looks like here in Bel Air. The text of our story is printed in your bulletin. If you're reading along in your Bible, it's from John chapter 21. We're going to begin at verse 15, forward in love. Let's read. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This encounter between Jesus and Simon Peter happens at the very end of the gospel story. Jesus has died and been raised. He's appeared to his disciples and has fed them a breakfast of fish and bread on the beach. Soon he will ascend to his heavenly throne, but first, some final instructions. "Feed my sheep." It's important that Jesus is having this conversation with Peter in particular. Here's why. When Jesus first calls Peter, it happens on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the same place that this story is set. Peter and his friends have just come in from a night of fishing without catching anything, and Jesus tells them to go out one more time and throw their nets one more time, and they do. And do you remember what happens? This was the story from week one of the Forward series. Their nets start breaking, their boats start sinking because they've caught so many fish. And here at the end of the gospel story, the disciples are again out fishing all night on the Sea of Galilee. Again, they don't catch anything. Again, they see Jesus on the shore. Again, Jesus says to them, "Put out your nets one more time," and guess what happens again? They catch so many fish that their nets start breaking and their boats start sinking. And the rush of emotion is just too much for Peter. He jumps overboard and swims to the shore. Jesus has brought Peter back to the day that Jesus called him because Jesus is about to send him. Jesus calls disciples to follow him, and then Jesus sends those same disciples to continue his work. "Feed my sheep." For us, in our baptism, Jesus calls us, each of us, to follow him. And then, through the church, Jesus sends us, each of us, to continue his work. And there's a second reason why it's important that Jesus is having this conversation with Peter in particular. On the night before Jesus died, Jesus is telling his disciples that they will betray him, that they will abandon him. And all his disciples are saying, no, we would never do that to you. And then Peter speaks up and says over the rest of them, "Lord, even if they all abandon you, I never will." And wouldn't you know it? Before the night is over, three times, Peter denies that he even knows Jesus. He abandons him three times just to save his own skin. And here at the end of the gospel story, Jesus gives this same Peter three times to say, "Lord, I love you." Isn't that wonderful? No matter what mistakes you've made in your past, even if you've denied over and over and over that you even know who Jesus is, Jesus offers you the chance to make it right. And Jesus offers you the assurance that your mistakes do not disqualify you from being sent to do God's work. So what's that have to do with moving forward in love? Three times, Jesus tells Peter what his job is as one who's been called and sent by Jesus. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Slight variation in the instructions, but it's all the same. Take care of my people. Shepherd my flock. Earlier in the gospel story, Jesus has told us what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A good shepherd puts his own wants and needs and desires, even his own life, behind him so that he can focus on the needs of the sheep. And earlier in the gospel, Jesus tells us that he would leave the 99 of us gathered in here to go find the one out there who is lost. Feed my sheep. This isn't about Peter taking care of the disciples. This is about the disciples taking care of the world. Feed my sheep. Jesus doesn't mean pastor take care of the church. He means church take care of the world. It's All Saints Sunday. And this church has had some saints who have come before us and have helped our church take seriously these instructions to care for the world. We had a meeting several weeks ago with a whole bunch of church leaders, and we asked several questions. One of those questions is, what is a core piece of our DNA as a church that we must hold on to as we move forward? And an overwhelming number of people said that it is part of our DNA to be serving the world, and we need to hold on to that. Feed my sheep. This church does that already in a lot of wonderful ways. We have a long-lasting and meaningful partnership with Christian Community Service Center, CCSC. One of their primary goals is to feed hungry people, and they do that through emergency services when people are in crisis, but also through job training and programs like Jingle Bell Express that make sure that financial need doesn't prevent any family from having a joyful Christmas. Every year, our church is able to invest thousands of dollars in CCSC's mission and ministry, and the people of this church invest hundreds of hours volunteering to make sure that that ministry and mission can happen in our community. We have other long-lasting, meaningful partnerships with Amazing Place, which cares for adults with dementia, with Child Protective Services, which cares for children who have atypical home or family situations, with Search, which cares for homeless men and women and formerly homeless men and women here in our city. A couple of years ago, we started a partnership with Zoe, which empowers orphans in Rwanda to move out of poverty and into a self-sustaining life. Those are ways that our church is already loving and caring for our world. We're not going to stop doing any of that. The question is, how do we move forward in that? How do we move forward in love? What does the future bring? Let me make two suggestions. First, moving forward in love means that we find ways to deepen our most meaningful existing partnerships. No relationship that's built on love should stay the same over time. It should continually deepen as we continually grow in love for each other. Every spring, this is just one small example, every spring CCSC has what they call an azalea dinner. And every spring, a couple of Sunday school classes from this church purchase a table to go to the azalea dinner and have a great evening. That allows us to invest several thousand dollars in CCSC's mission and ministry. It's great. But what if every Sunday school class bought a table at the Azalea Dinner? Just a little thing, but what if every Sunday school class bought a table at the Azalea Dinner? It would double, maybe triple the funding that our church is able to provide to CCSC. Just one example, one other example. We're right now at the end of a 3-year partnership with Zoe. It was supporting about 120 orphans in Rwanda. That's one working group. I think that beginning later this year, our church and through the generosity of some families in this church, we'll be able to support 3 Zoe working groups. That's more than 350 orphans in Rwanda, helping them move out of poverty and into a self-sustaining life, deepening our existing partnerships. Moving forward in love means that we deepen our existing partnerships. Second, moving forward in love means adding to those existing partnerships with a very intentional focus on our immediate neighborhood. In our church, in church speak, we call that a mission field. Rebecca, would you put up on the screen this map? So here's a map of our church's mission field. It's just a really basic map. It's something I put together on Google Maps, but here's our church right in the center. Here's Bel Air Boulevard going through. Here's Bissonnette. Here's Highway 59 and Buffalo Speedway, 610 on the south, Chimney Rock on the west. There's a lot of ways we could draw this map. This is our mission field, about a mile and a half circumference around our church, right? It's not a circle, but this is our immediate neighborhood. We don't all live in this red box, but we do all worship here. God put our church right in the middle of this geographical area, not on accident, but with a purpose. Feed my sheep. I've got a friend who says it like this: we as the church are responsible for everybody who falls in the shadow of our steeple. We as a church are responsible for everyone who lives in the shadow of our steeple. Imagine that this is the shadow our church's steeple casts. We are responsible for everyone who lives in that area because God has put us here. This won't be the last time you see this map. We're going to talk about it and dig into it all next year because we're moving forward in love, intentionally caring for the people God has put closest to us in our mission field. I want to close. Rebecca, you can take that down. Let me close with a story that captures what I think is exactly what Jesus calls us and sends us to do. You've no doubt heard a couple of weeks ago about the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Now, the man who did the shooting was taken to the hospital afterwards, and while he was entering the hospital, was still shouting about how he wanted to keep killing Jewish people. Here's something I read this week. If he only knew then about the identity of the team tasked with keeping him alive, at least three of the doctors and nurses who cared for him were Jewish, according to hospital president Jeffrey K. Cohen. He said, "We're here to take care of sick people." Cohen says, who is a member of the congregation where the massacre happened. Imagine that. He's a member. Several of his friends have just been killed by this man, and his thought is, "We're here to take care of sick people. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to ask, do you have insurance? We're here to take care of people that need our help." Cohen's simple and unapologetic description of how the shooter came to be treated fairly and impartially by the very people he had supposedly hated has traveled quickly around the world. Perhaps it's a stark reminder that there is something more powerful. There is something more powerful than caring for one's own. Three times Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep." He doesn't mean, Peter, take care of your friends. He doesn't mean, pastor, take care of the church. He means, church, take care of the world. Forward in love. Amen.